chapter 3, pasuk 13. So Mordechai, Haman convinces Achashverosh to wipe out the Jews on the 13th day of Adar. And they print up, they go to Kinko's, and they print up these documents. And it's a Persian word, an old Persian, like he checked out yesterday. And they sent these svarim in the hands of the runners. Why in the runners? They've got 12. This is in the month of Nisan, and they're writing about the 13th day of Adar. 11 months they got the plan for this day. But when it comes to killing Jews, get the word out as quick as possible that we're going to be able to do it.
From Hodu to Kush, though.
It could be, okay. That's one way of looking at it. The email takes a long time to reach. To wipe out all of the Jews from the youth till the old, women and children, in one day, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. Not only that, but to add insult to injury, all Jewish money is now open for the Germans to ransack their art, their silver, and the Swiss will claim that they know nothing about it as they keep it. Let's see if there's a Rashi on this. Stop shaking the table, you guys. Okay.
Seems like a lot of these things get initiated in the month of Nisan.
Okay. There's some, you'll see later, but there's some awesome stuff. We need more time. Okay. Pashegen Aksav. Linos and Das Bechol Medina Medina. Give me Pashegen.
Which verse do you want?
Pasuk 14. Huh?
Copies
of, again, I'm telling you, it's Kinko's. Pashegen, look at Targum, it says Kinko's. Pashegen Aksav Linos and Das Bechol Medina Medina. So this was copied over to each country and country. Golui L'chol Ha'amim. It was open and revealed in all the newspapers for all of the various countries. Liyos asidim liyamazeh, that they should be ready for this day. You could well imagine that in the Lithuanian yeshivas, that they had a great time with this liyos chasidim liyamazeh, that they were going to be asidim on this day. That was the problem with the decree, that they all have to be hasidim by this day. Says Rashi, Lashon Arami, this is Aramaic, Sefer Aksav, this is the copy of the documents. The Nosan Das, Tzivoy Haksav, the commandment of this writing, Shaya Omer Lihinosan Chayk Zeres HaMelech, to repeat and make sure that the decree went out from the king. Galui L'chol La'amim, it is now revealed. Davazesi. You have to realize that in addition, this is called adding insult to injury, in addition to the decree itself, there now is spread all over town, all everywhere. You can imagine the prestige and the business relationships, everything going along with. Well, listen, this, you know, your house is going to be gone anyway. This repeated itself in Europe. Once the decrees started coming out, Jewish property meant nothing to anybody because you know they were openly saying, like, "Can I have your house? Can I take this thing? You know, you're going to be dead anyway in a few months. So, what value does anything have?" The runners ran out, rushed by the word of the king. And the law was laid down in Shushan, the capital city. And the king and Haman sat down to drink. And the city of Shushan was Nevaicha. Now, there's one problem with this. What does Nevaicha mean?
Confused, right?
Confused?
Perplexed. Which often that's not a
joke. Here's the issue. Yeah. How many Jews were there in Shushan? Mordechai. Okay, good. So, right, she didn't know. Says Rashi. Let's see Rashi. But Adas Nitna B'Shushan. Markam Shaya HaMelech Sham, that's the city where the king was. Nitan Achoik Bay Bayoim. The rule obviously reached there that very day, because they didn't have to go very far in the capital city They knew already to be ready, meaning that word got out in Shushan that day. So Rashi says, it's referring to the Jews. But the other commentary is right that there were no Jews other than Mordechai, because it was a city, like you have certain cities that are political in Russia. What was it? Leningrad. Which city was it that the Jews were not allowed to live in? It was just, I think it was St. Petersburg, one of the cities.
They had redlining.
Yeah.
Wauwatosa, actually.
Right. So the Sefer Maimer Esther says, what was Va'ir Shushan Navaycha? Listen to this, Richard. Just, I get that. So he says like this, that I don't know who this Maimer Esther is, but he says that Achashverosh, remember when Vashti reported, when she reported back, when he told her to come, so she said, my father was able to drink, you know, 11 barrels of wine and it didn't affect him, and you take one drink and you go crazy and you're nuts and you're a stable man and all that kind of stuff. So Achashverosh had a serious issue with what his alcohol did to him. After the episode where he killed Vashti, Achashverosh went to AA. Mm-hmm. No jokes. He stopped. He figured that this was becoming horribly destructive. Mm-hmm. And he stopped drinking. Up until this moment. This is 7 years later. And Haman says, you know, we got to drink to this one. And Achashverosh couldn't control himself. The people of Shushan said, oh my God, he's drinking again. Not the Jews of Shushan.
No.
But they said, who knows, last time he drank, he killed Vashti and turned over the whole country. Who knows what's going to happen today? He says, it was not an issue of the Jews of Shushan. This confusion was ve-vase, what's coming down the pike from this last thing that he's drinking again.
Well, there's no Jews in Shushan, but Mordechai.
Yeah.
Was there like a suburb with a lot of Jews?
I mean, again, this is a suggestion. I'm not.
If not, then why would he proceed with that? Why would he be so upset at the Jews if there's just the one?
Who's the he?
Either of them. Haman or Mordechai.
Because of the whole country.
With the Jews?
Yeah, he is. He hates. He's an ugly anti-Semite. So it's one of the questions here is what, they weren't only upset about the locals, they got Jews in the whole country that are corrupt. The Jews are destroying the country. Yeah, or a post. Okay, chapter 4, we're making progress here. Well, Mordechai Yodos Kolash HaNas. Mordechai knew everything that was going on. How did Mordechai know what was going on? Well, look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Bal ha'chaloyim omaloi." The master of the dreams told him what was going on. She eskimu ha'alyonim lekach, and they told him not only that Haman and Achashverosh made this decree, but that heaven agreed. Heaven was in on the action. L'fish yishtach v'letzelim emei Nebuchadnezzar. This was a reaction in heaven because of the fact that they bowed down to the bust. And the fact that they enjoyed the meal 7 years earlier. Notice, both of these decrees are decrees that are being carried out decades later for sins that some of these people themselves did not do, but their ancestors did. The Rebbeinu Shloim holds back and holds back and holds back the decrees, waiting for Klal Yisrael to do tshuva. And at some point, he allows the sin to run its course on the perpetrators.
So this was the sin of bowing down?
Two things. That they bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar and that they partook of the meal of Achashverosh. So Mordechai knew as Kol Ashanas, that's what Rashi's bothered by, the Gemara. He's referring to a Gemara, Kol Ashanas, everything that was going on, meaning not only did he know about the decree, but he knew that in heaven they agreed with the decree. Vayikra Mordechai's begodav, so Mordechai ripped his clothing, vayilbash sak ve'efer, and he dressed himself in sackcloth, and he put on ashes. Vayetze b'seich ha'ir, and he went out in the midst of the city. Vayizak zok g'doylo mara, and he cried out a bitter and great wail.
Well, it has to be more than one Jew, because it says them.
Who's them?
That was it. Them lying in sackcloth and ashes.
Huh? So
when you said one, now it seems like...
Who's them?
But that's what I'm asking. You had... This is in Pasuk 3. It's in Pasuk 3.
We didn't get there yet. Right now we're in Pasuk 1. So he dresses himself in sackcloth. Mm-hmm. Now... All right, we'll see in a minute about the... He goes and appeals to Moshe Rabbeinu, to the Avos. He puts up a big fight here. Pasuk 2, Vayavad of Neshar Melech. And he comes up until the gate of the palace. And Lo V'yashar HaMelech B'Lubash Sak. But you can't come to the great... into the courtyard of the king with inappropriate clothing. They derive from here about lesson about how a person is supposed to dress when they come into the courtyard of the king. This is one of the references to dressing appropriately and having special clothing for davening. You're coming into the courtyard of the king, you're supposed to dress up. Yeah.
What happened prior to this point that we learned this lesson to dress menswear?
What
saying, this is where we got that. What happened all the time before that?
No. This is one of the references that we derive it from. Ubechal Medina Medina. And in each and every, now to go to Jim Goldman's issue, which you will now see why the question that he asked is not relevant. Ubechal Medina Medina, and in each and every country, Mikayim Ashadvar Melech Vedosa Magia, the place, all the various countries where the word of the king, the decree of the king, reached, Evel Godel Yehudim, there was a tremendous mourning for the Jews, Tzaim, they fasted, Ubechi, and weeping, Umisbed, and... How do they translate Misbed?
Lamenting,
okay. Sak, Vayifu, Yitzul, Rabim, and there was wide distribution of Sak and Afer. So why is your question, Jim, answered? Jim, why is your question answered?
Most of it, because it was the whole country.
Exactly. It was the whole world.
Whole world. That's right, because he, Achmosheris, was the king of the whole world.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Says Rashi, Dvar Melech Vidosai Kishash Luchim, when the messengers, Noisei Asvarim, Oivrim Shom, when they reach these various places, Nitna Hadas Beir, so each place, you know, wrote it into law. They hear you, hear you, hear, you know, like, here's the law, hear ye. And it began this massive mourning. So the maid servants of Esther and her Sarisao, what are Sarisao? How do they translate?
Chamberlains.
Chamberlains.
I thought those were men.
They may have been. And they told her what was going on, that Mordechai was in the middle of the street screaming, and Esther Malka got very shook up. So she sent clothing lahalbish as Mordechai to reclothe Mordechai properly, and to get this stuff, these garbage clothing off of him, but he refused. Now, who did she send? So let's see. Tikra Esther lahasach. So Esther sends out hasach. Chazal tell us that this was Daniel, the prophet. This was one of the agents of the king, or the chamberlains of the king, that Achashverosh gave her. And she commanded him to go find out from Mordechai, Ladas, to know Maze Valmaze. What in the world? Why are you doing this? And what was the cause? Vayetze Hasach al Mordechai. So Hasach goes out to Mordechai. El Rochev Eir to the street. Asher lifnei Shar Melech. Because he couldn't be in the gate of the king. He was out in the outer street. Vayagid le Mordechai es kol asher karo. And Mordechai told him everything that happened. Ves peroshes hakesev asher haman nishkol al gidze al melech vayehudim labdom. And about the money that Haman offered to pay for the Jews. Now, what relevance is that? Achashverosh rejected the money. So first of all, how did he know this?
It never. He's a malach.
He had a malach. But why is it relevant at all? Achashverosh rejected the money. So why is this? He tells him everything that happened and about the money. Who cares about the money? The money was an offer that was made. It was never accepted. It should be of no relevance, no consequence whatsoever.
Is that why it's relative? Because he turned it down?
Therefore,
that's how much this was really going really to happen. It wasn't about the money.
It wasn't the king either.
So Rashi says cryptically, Prashas HaKesef, Pirish HaKesef, the meaning of the money. It seems to suggest what you guys are saying, that there's a lot banking here. I'll tell you in a minute about what happened here. Now, let's just learn another few psukim and then we'll go back. And the copies of this law, Ashanitar Beshushan, that was given, was decreed in Shushan, Lashmidam, to destroy them. Nosan Loi, he gave to Hasach, Laharis Assessor, he gave her a copy. You know, here's the email. Well, I get law to tell her. Well, it's Abbas Aleha, but here's the point of action. To command their love El HaMelech, to come to the king, Loy, to plead with him, and to plead before him for her nation. Vayovai Hasach, so Hasach did his mission, Vayaged La Esther, as Divi Mordechai Shitaka repeated to Esther the words of Mordechai. So Esther commands back to Hasach, v'titzaveyu el Mordechai. She sends back a message. What's the message? Call Avdi HaMelech v'Amadinas HaMelech, all the servants of the king and all the nations of the king. Yoidiv, everybody knows. Ashekol ish v'isha shiyov el HaMelech, any man or woman that comes to the king, elachot zapanimis into the inner chamber, ashele yikore, who is not invited, achas dos elohamis, he will be put to death. Other than the person who to whom the king stretches out his golden scepter, that person can live. And I haven't been called to the king already for 30 days. Now you got to see the Targum on this post. Targum here is unbelievable. Listen to this. Listen to these words. Esther sends back words to Hasach, and she says to him, this is what you shall tell Mordechai. You listening? Haman, the wicked one, decreed about Achashverosh that no one is allowed to come into the king, to his inner chamber, without permission from Haman. Okay? So, okay, so first of all, this decree was now, and I haven't been called for 30 days. Suggestion being, either one of two things. I'm on the outs, right? Or, better yet, she says the likelihood is that an invitation is going to be forthcoming any day now. And we have 11 months till this decree. Why do I need to risk my life by going? If I haven't been there for a month, chances are any day now he's going to call me. So why do I need to risk my life and go there without the invitation? If, you know, let's wait 2 weeks.
What is she basing that on? I mean, has she been going regular? She go every so often?
But she hadn't been there in a while.
Right, so she's figuring that any day now an invitation might be forthcoming. Let's wait it out. Why rush? What's with you Jews and the rushing? Hmm. Now, strange. Pasuk Yud Beis has a very strange language here. Vayagidu leMordechai es divrei Esther. They said to Mordechai the words of the Esther. Who is they? We were just dealing with one guy, Hasach. Says the Targum, when Haman the wicked saw Hasach, whose name was Daniel, coming and going and communicating with Esther, he got furious with him and killed him. Haman executed Daniel. And instead, they had to call in to place Michael and Gavriel, the angels, to take the place of Hasach. This is the Targum. And they were the ones who repeated to Mordechai Esther's words. Thus, the plural in Pasuk 12, Vayagidu, plural, they told Mordechai Esther's words. Because the agent was dead.
How did Chazal darshan?
Chazal don't darshan anything.
Well, how did they figure that out?
It's all Tarshu B'Peh.
I mean, the easier explanation is, didn't Daniel have his three buddies who he went out?
Hanani, Mishael, Azariah.
Right. Man, that makes sense. They're just hanging out, and so they're all I want to say.
Whose hand does this come to be with?
They weren't all killed.
The Gemara in Bracha says that Esther wrote it with Ruach HaKodesh. It's all prophetic. There's several pointers to it, but that's what the Gemara says. It's all written with Ruach HaKodesh. That Esther was written by... The book of Esther is written by Mordechai and Esther with prophecy. Now, so one or two more psukim, then we come back. We got a post-it here. 1 second.
Is that a biblical post-it?
Yeah. Listen to this. This is the Targum. There's a second Targum. Targum Sheni. Says it takes us even deeper. He says that Esther says to Mordechai, as long as Achashverosh was the one who was initiating our relations, I'm not culpable for it because he's the one doing it. You're telling me now to come to Achashverosh, I'm going to be the one initiating the relationship now. And she says, I have been davening every day that the king should not compromise me. I don't want anything to do with the guy. So my davening has been that Achashverosh leave me alone. What are you telling me now to do? She says, because as long as you and I were together, you had told me that any Jewish woman who goes and willingly sleeps with a guy willingly, she has no portion in Shiftei Yisrael. She's on the outs with Kol Yisrael. And now you're telling me to go in willingly. I am selling my soul.
That's an easy solution, though. Is that all she has to do is she has to stop davening, not to go.
Right. That's what she was saying. Right. Am I supposed to not stop? That's what she was asking
stop
him.
Right.
Am I supposed to stop this? The tefillah for this?
And then she knows that then Achafer.
Exactly.
Well, of course.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And didn't you say that this was permissible if she's going to go save?
That was Mordechai's response. You got to go do it. Let's see the pasuk where he says that. But Yemen Mordechai lahashiv al Esther. So Mordechai commands to respond to Esther, Al tadami b'nafsheich li'malet beis hamelech mikol ha'yehudim. I need a translator because there are awkward words here. Don't
rely.
Okay.
Well, I'm saying,
do not imagine.
Oh, so that's the Targum says. Don't imagine.
Right.
To yourself, li'malet, to escape the beis hamelech mikol ha'yehudim, from the Jews. Why? Because if you are silent and you don't step in now, I'm not worried about Klal Yisrael. Don't worry about it. The Democrats will step in Congress and save the Jews. We have a very powerful lobbying organization there. You just ask Biden. He spoke at APEC yesterday. Don't worry. The salvation will come. The problem is, but you and your father's legacy will be lost forever. You will go down in the history as having stood by and not been the one who actively tried to save the Jews. I'm not worried about the Jewish people. The Jewish people will survive. Umi yodea, says Mordechai. Who knows? Imla es kazois, he got the machas. If it wasn't for this very moment that you became the queen, this is your moment in history. Says Rashi. Rashi takes it out of context. Umi yodea imla es kazois, he got, says Rashi. Umi yodea, who knows? Im yachbeitz bacha melech l'shana haba. Who knows? You're saying you're going to wait. That you have time to wait. Who knows if the king is going to be interested in you next year? Shuzmana Riga, that's the time when he's going to be killing all the Jews. Maybe, as we saw in all the powerful Jews in Germany, so it's a Gornish Golf, all the connected Jews, all the people that had all the political power, nothing helped him. Leis Kazais, at this time, says Rashi, Shua Yarmid Benissin. They were then in the month of Nisan. The next year, by the time Nisan comes around, it's already after D-Day. He got the Malchus, says Rashi, of Tagir, the Gdulish Atbachshav. Who knows if this wasn't your moment? So let's go back here and discuss some of the critical components that the commentaries tell us about these Pesukim that we read. Here in... All right. So first of all, going back to chapter three, pasuk 8 is a very critical lesson here about Haman's prosecution against Klal Yisrael. What was his prosecution to Achashverosh? Yesh ne'am echad mefuzer mefarid ben ha'amim. There's one nation that's splintered among the nations, b'chol medinas malchusach, and all the countries of the king, v'idaseim shenis mikolam, and their ways are different from every other nation, and the ways of the king, they don't do, and therefore it's not worthwhile for the king to keep them alive. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh has a commentary on Megillas Esther called Rishon Netzion, wherein he writes, b'chalem adabibay. He says, I had a dream. Interpreting this pasuk. Okay? That half this pasuk was said by Haman, and half of it was responded to by heaven. Here's how you got to read the two halves of the pasuk. He says, Haman says, Mufuzir mufarid bein ha'amim, but they're splintered among the nations. And heaven responds, Bechol Medinais, meaning, yeah, they're split up and they are scattered because they're dispersed among the nations. Meaning, you're issuing a prosecution, I'm defending. Malchusecha, he says, they are the ones, this is part of the issue. It's interesting because the Maharnaim says this about the Galuth, that the reason Klal Yisrael is scattered among the nations is because we have a mission to be dispersed among all the nations of the world to proclaim so that people should see, oh, that's a Jew. And that's what Jews do, and this is how they conduct themselves. We have a mission to the world of spreading Malchusecha. Our job is, Baruch Hashem, Kuvayit Malchusecha, the other word, to spread the word of Hashem wherever we go. Haman says, Yesh noi am, there's this nation, continues the Or HaChaim, and heaven says, Echad, they are the nation, they are the one nation among all of the nations. Haman says, Vidaseyem, and their laws, says the Shechina Shoinais, wherever they go, they distinguish themselves from their non-Jewish brethren. He brings here that one of the an heretic came to it was Rabbi Kiva Eger and said to him, are you really going to tell me you think that, you know, Avraham Avinu wore a shtreimel? No. So he said to him, I don't know that Avraham Avinu wore a shtreimel. He says, but I can tell you one thing, that Avraham Avinu went and checked in the local paper to see what the goyim were wearing, and he made sure that his tailor sewed his clothing the exact opposite way of the way the Goyim were dressing. That was Vidaseim Shainais. They make sure to distinguish themselves. He says the Rambam. I didn't realize it's Allah and the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Nefesh HaVei D'Zara that a person should see to it that his dress, his hairstyle, should be different than the nations around him. So he says, Shainais, says the Arachayim. Hashem responds by saying, they're different. They stick out. Haman says, Ula Melech Ein Sheve. It's not worthwhile for the king to allow them to exist. And the Shekhinah says, La Nechav, let them be. Okay? So that's how the Arachayim interprets this pasuk. Okay. Got a marker here. Yeshnei Amechad. See that pasuk there? Yeshnei Amechad. So the Gemara Megillah says Yashnu min haMitzvos. Either the mitzvahs got old on them, or they are sleeping. So the Gemara there says, "Elikeim shel elu yashanu." That Haman says to Achashverosh, "Don't worry about the Jews; their God is asleep at the wheel."
Their what?
Their God is asleep. Elikeim yashan. That's what the Gemara says on the word yeshnoi. See that word? Yeshnoi amechad, that means asleep. Yeshnoi amechad means don't worry about their God taking care of them. Pasuk, chapter 3, Pasuk 8.
There is a certain people.
Yeshnoi. So the Yeshnoi amechad. So the Kodanover says Elikeim shel elu yashanu. The prosecution was not that their God is asleep, but when they're involved with their God, they are asleep. The prosecution was that Klal Yisrael is fashlufim. When it comes to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no energy. It's lethargic. It's old. And therefore, we can prosecute against them, because when it comes to their physical stuff, they're passionate and exciting. When it comes to the Kayam Shalela, when it comes to their godliness, when it comes to their spiritual service, Yeshnai, they're asleep.
Where are you seeing
3:8? 3:8. Yeshnai Amechad, right there. The word Yeshnai means there is, it also means asleep, the Gemara Darshans. Rabbi Rabinim, when he used to say this word, he'd say Yesh Noi. Yesh Noi is two words. Yesh Noi Amechad. In Yiddish, Yesh Noi means this is a shine folk. They're a beautiful nation. Yesh Noi. Noi mitzvah is to beautify the mitzvah. He would say Yesh Noi Amechad. Shine is the folk, Klal Yisrael. That's their. He says Hama didn't even realize that he was defending Klal Yisrael in his words. Okay, I had one other thing that was very important. Oh, this is our Goldman vart. Ma nishtana halayla. What's the acronym?
Why is this?
What's the acronym? Acronym, not translation. Acronym and translation are two different words.
Mahu.
Gotta explain it. Haman. Ma nishtana halayla. Is Rosh HaTevis Haman. The first night of Pesach always falls out on the same night as Tisha B'Av.
Right.
And the question is, why is this galus different than all other galus? Manishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylos. So the, who is this? Rab Amram Blum, the Beis Sha'arim, says that the Beis Mikdash was destroyed because of sinas chinam, because of baseless hatred. He says that's what the answer is. Yesh noi am echad, we are supposed to be one nation. Right? When we're mefuzer and mefarid ben amim, when we're splintered among the nations, when there's no achdus, then we subject ourselves to the curse of galus. Therefore, it's alluded to when we ask the question, why is this night different than all other nights? That this night is endless and it's taking forever. So pointed right there is Haman saying, Haman already told us what the reason is. The reason is, Mufuzur and Mufarid bin Amim, because we are splintered among the nations. There is no unity among Klal Yisrael. When we Esther wants to rectify this, she says, Leich kenaisis kol hayudim, go gather all the Jews, get them all together, and then we can bring about the Yeshua. Oh,